Cincinnati Public Schools has been busy. With its new growth plan, questions about how Ohio lawmakers will fund the state's public schools, concerns from teachers and families about ICE raids, and so much more. This is Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Cincinnati Public Schools Superintendent Shauna Murphy joins me now to talk about her outlook for the district this year. Welcome back, Superintendent Murphy.
Thank you for having me.
And along with her is Chief Operations Officer Chris Burkhart. Thanks for being here, Chris.
Thank you for having me.
Cincinnati Public Schools is a financial supporter of Cincinnati Public Radio. Okay, Superintendent Murphy, I hear you have some news to share regarding the Xavier Montessori Lab School that's transitioning.
That is absolutely right. You and your listeners may be completely aware of the announcement that was made a few weeks ago that Xavier Montessori Lab School would not continue. And so Cincinnati Public Schools, we were approached by a group of parents who are very, very much interested in continuing their community. And the initial ask was, could we possibly lease space from the district? Could we possibly morph into a charter school? And could we become a part of Cincinnati Public Schools? So initially we had a conversation and we said, well, let's lease and you try it, we try it, and let's see how this might work. We shared that with the Board of Education. Our next meeting, the families came back and they said, we want to be a part of Cincinnati Public Schools. So this past Monday night, our Board of Education voted affirmatively to support us moving forward with creating the Montessori Lab School at Bramble Nature Campus.
Wow.
So last night, we had a meeting with their families. And we have about 75 students registered in Cincinnati Public Schools in order to launch this school for next year.
Wow. And how will that work? How are you going to be accommodating those students in Bramble? I mean, will Bramble still be there? Because there's a preschool there right now, right?
That's absolutely right. There's about three preschool classrooms there. And the building, you may recall, used to be a Cincinnati Public School property. We sold it several years ago. There have been some charter schools using the property. I think the most recent was the Citizens of the World Charter School. They are no more. Cincinnati Public Schools, maybe 2 years ago, had an opportunity to buy the property back. That's what we did. We started with the preschool classrooms there. It's a beautiful building, and we have so much more space. And the timing for the Montessori Lab School families is absolutely perfect to help us be able to grow that building even more.
And will CPS also be able to hire staff from the old lab school? Because I know that was a concern for a lot of those families, too.
Absolutely. They literally love their community and approached us about what we could do to keep their entire community, including the staff, intact. So we've had several conversations about how we can make this work. And last night, we began the hiring process for many of their staff members.
Oh, my goodness. And will this be ready to go for the upcoming school year, for the 25-26 school year?
Lucy, this will be ready to go August 2025 on the first day of school.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
Now, I know the Xavier Montessori Lab School historically had education majors who are majoring in Montessori education from Xavier who would get training, who would teach and get experience in that school. Will that still be able to happen under this new model?
That is one of the highlights for Cincinnati Public Schools and our teachers. One of the amazing benefits. We will be able to continue that as a school district, training our Montessori teachers to be able to go into the classroom with that pedagogy and to be able to present to kids every single day. We are extremely excited about doing this and being a trendsetter and continuing the legacy of Montessori education.
And would this be a magnet school? And what would happen to the preschool classrooms that are at Bramble now?
The preschool classrooms we are committed to, and those classrooms will remain in the building as we work and continue to grow out the new Montessori pre-K to 8 building and school.
Okay. And will it be a magnet so people from all over could attend that? Is that how it's going to work?
It will be an open magnet Montessori opportunity for students across the school district.
Okay. And I want to circle back to the training piece just to make sure I've got it all straight, because there's you're dealing with a lot here in a short amount of time. You mentioned making sure that the district's Montessori educators could get that training in the classroom, that experience. What about education students at Xavier? Will that still be an opportunity for them?
We can be open to anyone within Cincinnati Public Schools or outside of Cincinnati Public Schools who is interested in being Montessori trained.
Wow. So I understand that the district has more demand for Montessori education than you've been able to meet. How do you see this kind of meeting that need?
So you may be familiar with our growth plan, and several years ago, even with the facilities master plan, there was conversation about the need for a third Montessori high schools. And you will hear our Montessori families remind us of that. And so we are hopeful that in the growth plan in phase three and beyond, so this part not for next school year, but and beyond, that we'll be able to grow to a third Montessori high school. So we know it's in demand, and we're trying our very best to meet that demand.
Yeah. And do you think having this additional Montessori program for lower grades could kind of help that, help build the need for that?
Or no question. No question about it. So right now we have a Montessori high school on the east side of town in Clark Montessori, and on the west side of town in Gamble Montessori. And what the vision is that we would build out a central corridor Montessori structure that would be pre-K to the 12th grade. We are starting a preschool 3-5 classroom next school year at William Howard Taft Elementary School. That way we can begin to create this middle corridor school.
Okay. How would this program be funded? Does it need extra funding to kind of make all this happen?
It's very expensive, but we are trying to meet the demands of our children, of our families. And so our board on Monday night said, yes, this is going to be important for our school district to do. And so the administrative team will carry that out.
Okay. And you said the board approved this Monday night. You had hiring happening at a meeting earlier this week. You had enrollment happening at a meeting earlier this week. What's next with this? Are there more opportunities for families to enroll?
Absolutely. So the next two Wednesdays, our team will be back out at the Bramble site. So if there are additional families who are interested in enrolling, we will have a team there to help and assist them to become a student in Cincinnati Public Schools at the Bramble Nature Campus.
Okay. Well, we're talking with Cincinnati Public Schools about the outlook for education. Do you have questions or comments? Give us a call at 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. I want to shift gears a little bit, although we were just talking about funding. Governor Mike DeWine recently introduced his state budget. What do you think about his plan for funding public education?
You know, Lucy, when I think about public education, I think about a couple of different things. So one, people often ask me, what's the most challenging aspect of my job? And I would have to answer, no question, it's financing everything that we need and want to do for 35,000 children. And when I also think about my education classes growing up, state funding for education in Ohio has been unconstitutional for years. Unconstitutional in the 90s and the 2000s. It remains unconstitutional. So it's a problem. It's a concern. And we do have legislators asking for more dollars, public dollars, to go to private parochial charter schools. There are more responsibilities that Cincinnati Public Schools as a school district has to support the needs of children in private parochial and charter schools, and it can be very challenging.
Talk a little bit more about that, because I don't think people understand that Cincinnati Public Schools has responsibilities to support these other students.
Well, there are a few examples of that. On the transportation example, I'm going to ask Mr. Burkhart to speak on it, but I can tell you that we provide teachers, we provide materials, we provide support services to charters, to parochials, to Catholic schools. We also provide transportation. So I'll ask Mr. Burkhart to maybe elaborate on that a little bit.
Yeah, please do.
Yeah, thank you, Superintendent. When we're looking at transportation across the entire city of Cincinnati, as we're looking at the entire city of Cincinnati, we are looking at both charters, non-publics, as well as our own CPS students. And that is a requirement of CPS across all of those schools. So we not only transport our students, we're transporting those students across all of the city.
That's a requirement under state law.
That's a requirement under state law. Now, with House Bill 110, about a year and a half ago, we're not only required to transport them, but we have certain time frames in which we have to transport. So we can't drop off students any more than a half hour before their school day starts, and we must take them from the school and deliver them home within a half hour of the school day ending. So with those parameters in place and having to cover the entire city of Cincinnati, it becomes very difficult, and we don't always have those resources when we consider that there's maybe students with, for example, IEPs that may have a specific van or a restraint that may be needed in those vehicles. It becomes very, very difficult for us to get those resources, and those resources aren't always funded. So we've got to look at CPS as funding those resources, even though the state won't.
So the state requires that, but doesn't send specific funding for you all to do that?
Correct.
Okay. Okay. Well, I think that could be news to some people out there who are listening. You mentioned public money for private schools, and the governor's proposal would continue to fund private school vouchers in Ohio, which amounted to nearly $1 billion last year. What kind of impact does that have on public school funding?
Well, it has a tremendous impact. I mean, it's asking us to do more with less. And we would love for the students to come to our schools. We believe we have the best education possible. And we're fine with people having choice. We just want them to have choice with their dollars, and that public school dollars should be given to public schools.
You mentioned the unconstitutionality of public school funding in Ohio. The lawmakers passed this Fair School Funding Plan a number of years ago to try to raise funding levels, and the governor makes mention of that in his budget, but House Speaker Matt Huffman has suggested state lawmakers should back away from that plan because he says there's just might not be enough money to do all that. What would that mean for Cincinnati Public Schools if the state backs away even from this Fair School Funding Plan?
We will continue to have challenges. When you even think about our gifted students and how much they are weighted, our multi-language learners and how much weight or dollars, additional dollars we get from the state, it does not meet the needs. It's pennies on the dollar, and it is just really a hard way to go for public schools.
We're going to continue our conversation after a short break, and later in the program, a neo-Nazi protest has spiked anxieties in Lincoln Heights. We'll examine laws surrounding protests. This is Cincinnati Edition. This is Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. We're continuing our conversation about the outlook for education this year in Cincinnati Public Schools. My guests are Cincinnati Public Schools Superintendent Shauna Murphy and Chief Operations Officer Chris Burkhart. You can join the conversation by calling 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. We've talked before on this program about the district's growth plan and the restructuring that's part of it. Chris, how is that going so far? I know there are a lot of moving parts in there.
It's actually going very well. We're still engaging with the community, and as we roll out the growth plan, trying to find out from both internally, principals, school leadership teams, as well as PTOs, PTAs, as well as parents, what they want to see in a new school district moving forward. And we're very, very happy to know that, you know, we're listening to each one of those conversations and making sure that we're pivoting when we need to pivot. But the plan is underway, and we are actively working on making sure that we're ready to open, and as the superintendent said, in August, with all these new things in place.
Well, I know Superintendent Murphy, middle school has been an important piece of all this for you, and I've asked you about this in the past, but can you talk again about why you think that middle school piece of the plan is so important?
I have been the principal of both a pre-K to 8 school building and a 9-12 and 7-12 building. And those 7th and 8th graders, 6th, 7th, and 8th graders, that middle school, that middle year child, that 12, 13, 14, they just need something special for them. They need teachers who specialize in that age group. They need principals and staff who specialize in that age group. They need a space. When you go from 6th grade, you may have had 2 teachers and you may have been escorted everywhere you go in the building, from getting off of the bus to going to lunch to going class to class.
Those little ducklings.
Exactly right. You see that image. When you get to high school, they're on their own. You get off the bus, you get the first bell, you get the second bell, you figure it out really quickly. We need a little transition in there to support them better. And if we can support them better in that growth, think of what a difference it'll make socially, emotionally for them. And then being prepared for instruction so academic achievement can increase as well. You know, Sally, we launched our first junior high school this past August, Schroeder Junior High School, 7th and 8th grade. It is going exceptionally well. And we are so excited about the data that we're getting back in terms of instruction, in terms of behaviors, and so proud of that principal, Danielle Battle, and her whole team.
That's wonderful. We do have a caller on the line. Hi, Richard. Thanks for calling. What's your question or comment?
Well, I'm a recent transplant from Florida, and I wanted to hear something about the danger of what's called down there patriotic education, especially now that the federal government is dismantling the Department of Education. I'm afraid they're going to say, oh, well, we know you're broke, but here's some money if you will teach patriotic education. And in Florida, that includes, amongst other disgusting things, teaching that slavery had benefit for the enslaved, and that discussion of slavery is an assault on white students' self-esteem and designed to bring them shame and the feeling of guilt.
I'm going to stop you there, Richard, because we've got a limited amount of time with the superintendent, and I want to get her thoughts. I don't know that that's something that's being discussed in Ohio at this time, but it does raise this question about the U.S. Department of Education. There are talks about completely eliminating that department. What would that mean for Cincinnati Public Schools?
Yes, there are talks of eliminating the Department of Education. We are completely aware. However, and we are business as usual. We are moving forward with the policies and the structure that our Board of Education have set for us. We are following what is laid out as federal law in terms of what we have to follow to run school. We're following state law as we need to do to run school. And so nothing has changed at this point.
And do you have any concerns? Richard was kind of making the point that, hey, what if the U.S. Department of Education says, well, we'll give you money if. Have you heard any concerns that there could be strings attached to federal funding?
I truly have heard no concerns like that at all in the state of Ohio.
Okay. Well, let's get back to the growth plan. What are the next big steps with the plan? Is that, and I see the superintendent looking at you, Chris. I don't know if that means you need to answer that one.
Yeah, so there's a lot of work to be done as we look at the restructuring of our schools. Just elementary, trying to figure out where in the school the different classrooms are going to be, for example. We're looking at converting some of our K through 5, K through 8 buildings to middle schools, as we talked about earlier. And what does that day look like for the student, and what spaces might have to transition? We're also looking at the physical structure of the building. For example, if it was a building that had kindergarten through 3rd or kindergarten through 5th, something as simple as putting in different toilets that would fit those middle school students, or raising the sinks up, and some of those things that you might not think about as you go into converting a school. Also, literally all the fixtures in the building, making sure they're appropriate for the age of the students. as we look at transportation, as we talked about earlier, making sure that we have a safe ride for every student from point A to point B, as well as those students who might be riding our metro, making sure that they're doing all of that within one stop or one transfer from their home to their school.
Yeah.
So again, there's a lot of work that we have to do on the ground to make sure that all this happens. And we have a great team from facilities to our dining services to our curriculum all working together. And then the last piece is really looking at how do we move teachers and students and all their belongings from one building to another. I think if you've ever moved in a house and packing all those things up and moving them from point A to point B, you know, we're doing that exponentially in about 35 of our schools.
Oh, my goodness.
And staff moving and students moving and all of the stuff that you might have accumulated over those years of maybe being a teacher for 10, 12, 15 years and, you know, what to keep, what to throw out, what to box up, and then getting that logistics of getting that moved to 67 of our buildings.
Wow. That stresses me out just thinking about it. I want to ask you about another topic, Superintendent Murphy. I know late last month at a school board meeting, some teachers voiced concerns about the possibility of ICE raids at schools. They said that students had been missing school out of fear. Can you just spell out the district's policy when it comes to ICE raids, just so there's no confusion?
Yeah, I appreciate that question, Lucy. And we have had many students who were afraid. Staff members who were afraid, not knowing what to do, what was coming, how to handle the situation. But our school board has been very strong on the policy around how we protect children in general, and that's what we lean on. So, for example, if Shauna Murphy came to Chris Burkhardt High School and I asked for Lucy May, if I am not an authorized person to see or talk with Lucy May, our school is not going to allow that to happen for anyone, for any student at any time. So that is what we're leaning on. That is what we're sticking to. And that is the message that we shared with our principals and our school team.
What have you seen in terms of attendance? Have you seen attendance come back in some of those schools where children weren't attending class because of fear?
There was about one day initially where we took a really big dip in our attendance, but we have seen our attendance come back very, very quickly. And I think the schools are probably one of the safest places our kids can be. And they have loving, caring adults who they know will protect them, will look out for them. And so our attendance has bounced back.
And you mentioned that if you don't have authorization to, you know, to ask for Lucy May or whatever student, you won't get to see that person. What about in the case of a warrant? I think there's been a lot of talk about warrants. Does that change the equation?
In the case of a warrant, we would reach out to our general counsel first to ensure the validity of a warrant. I am not sure and will not test the chances of there being a warrant to pick up a child from school.
Yep.
If there is, we will deal with that appropriately, but we still maintain that we're safe and we'll take care of the kids.
Okay. Good to know. I'm
yes.
sure that's good for a lot of people to know. We do have another caller on the line that I think relates to our discussion about Bramble. Hi, Kate. Thanks for calling. What's your question or comment?
It's more of a comment. I was just curious about the level of community engagement that occurred with the decision to make Bramble a Montessori school. In previous meetings throughout the past 2 years, the community overwhelmingly asked for that school to actually be the junior high. I was in a meeting last week or breakfast last week with the superintendent, and no mention was made of this decision.
Okay. Thank you, Kate. You want to address
sure.
that, Superintendent Murphy?
We hold on the decision until the board gives us approval to do things. We act in order, in decency and order, and that's what we did, which is why we're having this conversation today.
Okay. And it was a junior high considered for that building?
No, there was a junior high consideration presented to the board through the growth plan for another schoolhouse, but not from administration concerning Bramble. There may have been others who suggested that or thought about that, but it was never the proposal to the board.
Okay. Thank you for that, Kate. And with something, I don't think this is the community engagement maybe Kate was talking about, but are there conversations that you have with the Madisonville community when you're thinking about doing something different with a building there?
Absolutely. So we have an assistant superintendent who works on this for us and with us, goes out, engages communities. LSDMCs is the primary vehicle we use because those LSDMCs are made up of faculty and staff, community members, as well as parents.
Okay. Well, I have been talking with Cincinnati Public Schools Superintendent Shauna Murphy and Chief Operations Officer Chris Burkhart. We kept you a little longer than we said we would, but we appreciate your time today. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Up next, a neo-Nazi protest has spiked anxieties in Lincoln Heights. We'll examine laws surrounding protests. This is Cincinnati Edition.